Doug Tyrrell, History and Comment is available on iTunes.
Hello, friends. I'm Doug Tyrrell. This is History and Comment for Thursday, the 14th of March, 2024. German scientist Otto von Guericke publishes his work on vacuum and his discovery of electrostatic repulsion. Magnets are polarized, and if you play with two bar magnets, in one direction they will attract, and in the other they will repel. Von Guericke found that a static charge acts much the same way. There is a simple demonstration where two pieces of tinfoil are placed in a vacuum jar and connected to a metal rod and the outside. When a charge is placed near the rod, the foils will separate. What appears to be basic physics, yet at one time was cutting-edge science. Physics is maybe the most basic of science fields. I say maybe because all of science gets down to a very basic level quite quickly. Physics is the one field we have most harnessed for our benefit. When we talk about cutting-edge electrical generation, we are also on the cutting edge of our understanding of physics. The traditional and currently the most feasible generation of electricity is to burn fossil fuels to generate steam. Convert the energy in the steam to mechanical motion, and then convert that mechanical energy into electricity. It's hardly an efficient process, yet it remains the most efficient. If you study, each of those steps were once the cutting edge of physics investigations. Solar panels, or the direct conversion of solar energy into electricity, in theory should be the most efficient process since there is a single conversion. And we know that the same silicon chips that give us the transistor can do the conversion. Yet there is still much to get the process cheaper than fossil fuels. Today, we do not have the physics. Or we do not understand the physics. They may well be there. Just as steam power was in the Roman period and before, yet they did not have the knowledge. Nearly every technological breakthrough comes from a new understanding of basic physics. I almost passed over this tidbit, but after reading the story, feel it's worthy on the principles. In 1757, Admiral Sir John Byng is executed for failing to comply with the British Articles of War. Now the pressing question is, what does an admiral have to do to warrant such a sentence? Common sailors were another matter, but this is a flag officer. The British Navy was to protect British merchant ships and over the course of time had failed to maintain the Mediterranean fleet, while France had built its up. Caught in a very bad situation, orders were given to Byng to defend British interest with a fleet of ships that were in poor repair and greatly undermanned. Some say the Admiralty or top brass knew the situation was dire, but decided to make a scapegoat should things fail and make them appear to have been negligent. Typical politicians, if you ask me. When Byng had engaged the French to a draw, he withdrew to a safe harbor for repairs and supplies. But upon his return to London, he was arrested for failure to do his utmost. Essentially, the idea was, you better die trying. He was charged, court-martialed, and found guilty with a mandatory sentence. All up the chain to the king, they refused to grant a pardon, despite many calls for one, and expressions the findings were a travesty of justice. A few years later, the Articles of War were changed, and they removed the mandatory death sentence. But as late as 2007, the government declined to issue a pardon posthumously. Some historians claim the strong position hardened the British Navy over other nations. Eli Whitney is granted a patent for the cotton gin in 1794. The simple box device essentially used a circular saw blade to catch cotton fibers and pull them through a slot too narrow for the larger seeds. Simple but ingenious. It greatly improved the efficiency of cleaning the natural fiber, and some argue the need for slaves to hand clean it. I have wondered, had we not had a civil war and the mechanical inventions of the late 19th and early 20th century came to bear, how would this have changed history? Certainly the way it ended was not a good solution. Releasing a population with few skills in independent living and into a hostile environment was far less than ideal. The value of the dollar is tied to the price of gold in 1900. In a way, this had been the case for years, but now it was in fact exchangeable for actual gold. The value of a dollar was 25.8 grains of gold. At this morning's gold price, that is $116.38. Can you say inflation? Earlier this month, gold reached a record price of $2,195 an ounce. This is not a good time to be getting into the gold market. It also says a lot about the market thinks about the dollar. A few years back, I was touring the gold fields in California. A tour mine remarked that gold was not profitable to mine at that time, so they were giving tours. But if gold reached $400 an ounce, the mine would again be profitable. My guess is they are digging all they can today. There are a few categories of federally protected lands. We usually think of national parks, and that is one. On this day in 1903, President Theodore Roosevelt establishes the first National Wildlife Refuge. Pelican Island is a 3-acre island and about as much water off the Central Florida Atlantic coast. Phil Vincent was an English engineer born on this day in 1908. Vincent, like a few folks in that era, was intrigued with motor vehicles and took to the 2-wheeled version. He was a couple of months beyond his 20th birthday when he purchased the trademark Goodwill and Spares from the HRD brand of motorcycles. The Vincent line will be built from 1928 until 1955. In the late 40s and until the end, Vincents were the fastest production motorcycles built. The pinnacle was the Black Shadow, which was a pure stock bike, and the upgraded and modified for race, Vincent Black Lightning. The Black Lightning, while maybe more legend than fact, are still highly sought. 19 survive, and if you can find one for sale, the price will be north of 7 figures. At 1,000 cc's and 65 horsepower, it would hardly be considered a performance bike today. The first American patient is treated with penicillin in 1942. The Jewish ghetto in Krakow, Poland is liquidated by this day in 1943. Liquidated does not mean liberated. The Jewish occupants were sent either to work camps if needed or death camps. No matter one's thoughts on Jews or the later nation of Israel, it should be of great concern that there is efforts to whitewash what happened in Central Europe under Nazi rule. There is simply no excuse. But then the 20th century was the bloodiest in human history. Most people died at the hands of repressive yet benevolent leaders. Look at Russia, China, and North Korea for examples. The Kims of Korea continue to follow this model and tell their people how blessed they are to be led by such a glorious leader and protect them from the horrid Americans. But then listen to the propaganda that's emanating from the campaign trail here this season. Many of the comments about the recent State of the Union address were how angry the president's tone was. American disc jockey Rick Dees is 74 today. Dees was a mostly unknown 26-year-old DJ working an AM station in Memphis, Tennessee, when he recorded what amounted to a novelty song. Disco music was the rage, and the song was a Donald Duck-esque voice singing about dancing to disco music. Disco Duck spent 1 week at the top of the Billboard Hot 100 and 10 weeks in the top 10. It certainly remains one of the most recognized songs of the year. On a top 40 station of that era, they played about 12 songs an hour, with emphasis on the top 10. You would expect to play each of them every 3 hours. We can be reasonably certain DJs were fairly sick of the song, or any song for that matter, by the end of its run. But then, in that era, DJs didn't listen overly closely to what was playing. Instead, they were more focused on upcoming programming. The songs were often background noise to the task at hand, and listening for the ending. There is a bit more to the story. The station Dees was on refused to let him play the song, despite its national popularity. After he mentioned the fact on air, he was canned. A few weeks later, he was picked up by the rival station in the Memphis market, but the song made him a national name. The fame allowed him to move to the Los Angeles market. When the station there became dissatisfied with Casey Kasem's American Top 40, Deez began his more colorful version called The Weekly Top 40. The show remains in current syndication. Jack Ruby is convicted of killing Lee Harvey Oswald in 1964, less than 4 months after the events in Dallas. Personally, the idea that an accidental discharge after Oswald fired a couple of shots killed the president makes more sense than any scenario I have read to date. Still talking about the slain president, he's moved to a permanent burial place in 1967. The original was hastily decided, and a more elaborate design took time to build. Today is Pi Day, referring to the mathematical ratio of the diameter of a circle to its circumference, and the Greek letter for pi. Pi is simplified to 3.14, and that works for most calculations. In fact, many times simply 3 works. But the ratio results in an irrational number. There is no mathematical end. If you divide 1 by 4, you get 0.25 and it ends. If you divide 1 by 6, you get 0.16666666 and it repeats forever. But pi gives you an endless string of numbers. Pi also relates to the area of a circle and the old adage, pi r squared. Pies are not square, pies are round. The concept dates back at least 4,000 years. At the beginning of the 20th century, pi had been worked out to 200 decimal places. Today, with modern calculators, it's been worked out to over 6 billion. Well before that point, it is really insignificant. I always found geometry interesting and logical. Other math disciplines are more challenging. That's History in Comment for the 14th day of March. I'm Doug Terrell. Now, go do something worth remembering.